This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Getting ready to rip off some kneecaps. That's what I feel like. You know, Dan was a terrific player. Dan is a terrific coach, and Dan knows exactly what to say to the Detroit Lion fan. You have to remember, like, all these coaches that when they get presented, they're told, like, you know, what the fan base, they're reading all this stuff. They, you know, Rob Sala knows this. He knows all of what's the Jet history is, what happened with Adam Gase and everything else in his press conference. Believe me, he knows everything.
Yeah.
These guys are in touch. They know what's happening. So I thought, you know, the Jet head coach came across competent, smart, very diligent, and you could understand why watching him in his suit and tie and his bald head and everything there and his nice smile and the way that he can talk and all that other stuff, I thought it was a win for him. Now, it wasn't like didn't knock everybody off their seats, but the one thing, and I'm glad to see that the writers picked up on it, it's what he said about players and how you get the players and how you motivate players and how the players need to play on Sunday and you have to give them an opportunity so they can make more money.
Yeah, that's how you motivate the players.
But it's not, that's obvious.
Work hard, you get paid.
Right, exactly. So he understands today's players because the money is so significant
that it's
a huge part of the equation. Now, most coaches would never talk about it. Most coaches would never even bring it up. And most coaches are Neanderthals. You know, they came from my generation or the generation before me, as you saw with Dan Campbell. I mean, there still is that Neanderthal mindset. This guy is obviously, he's a smart guy. You know, you could see that guy in that outfit yesterday walking into Co-America where he worked prior to him getting into coaching.
Sure, sitting in his cubicle and going, I hate this job, I got to go coach.
Right, but just legitimately being in that spot,
right,
looking professional. Now, Dan Campbell was crazy yesterday, but this is why you love NFL coaches and you love their press conferences. This is a throwback to a little bit of the Denny Green, the playoffs.
Jim Mora.
Yeah, guys. I mean, this is like the intensity of the NFL behind the scenes.
I understand. But those guys, Denny Green was pretty even keeled, very even keeled for most of his coaching career. He lost his mind in that moment, which was an outlier.
Out in Arizona.
Arizona. But, yeah. You know, Jim Mora, of course, was a guy. I mean, he had the diddly poo one where he screamed, and then he also had the playoffs one in two different places. Diddly poo was in New Orleans, and then the Indianapolis one was the playoffs. But those were after games or before games or during the season. Like, this is the first time we got a look at Dan Campbell. And I was thinking, like, the Lions already reflect the Detroit. I mean, it's an underachieving hellhole that nobody wants to go to. So, like, I don't know how you're going to get that team to reflect the city any more than it already does. But, well, no, I mean that's just unhinged stuff. Like, I understand. And like, you know, that might have worked maybe 20 years ago, but now I think people are more hip to the fact that, like, listen, man, like, talking about biting somebody's kneecap off and taking a chunk out of you, which was funny because in the beginning he's like, I'm not going to give you any of this coach speak stuff. And then he launched into that. I was like, that's ultimate football guy coach speak stuff. Like, even you said you weren't going to do it, but it's whatever. Right. Who cares about that?
I actually liked it because I found it to be, like, refreshing that here's a guy up there that's just absolutely losing his mind because he's trying to project some sort of intensity. But again, all, you know, for our purposes here this morning, it is about Rob Saleh. And I, you know, he's everything I thought he would be in a press conference. I told you that the Jet fan would like what they saw and what they heard.
Yeah.
Maybe you would like a little bit more emotion, but, you know, we're all different. We all communicate differently. He just looked polished, professional, and ready to take on the job. Now, behind the scenes, it's going to be a different story. Now, behind the scenes, you saw him talking about Quinnen Williams. I know he talked about Sam Darnold a little bit, but, you know, he's like loves Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
And you heard him get excited when he starts talking about Quinnen Williams and about how he sees him fitting in his scheme on defense. And what is his scheme on defense? Vertical, get up the field, get, you know, create as much chaos and much havoc as you possibly can, twisting and stunting. This is all going to be good for the defensive line, you know, his way of doing defense. And you saw that on the sidelines of San Francisco 49er games. That's why he may not be as animated as a head coach. I think he will be animated to a certain point, but he's not going to be, you know, I don't know if he'll be halfway on the field, you know, pumping his fist like he was for the defense.
He also said he's not going to call the defense, which is a different thing. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing, too, that came out of all of this, which I do give Christopher Johnson a lot of credit for this, because this is something that I've advocated for now for a number of years, and now finally it is happening.
Yeah.
And that is Joe Douglas is the guy that's in charge of the football side. So the Johnson family, you know, they're not football people. Just because you own a football team doesn't mean you're a football person. You're right. A business person.
Yeah.
They understand the business of football. They understand how to help get a stadium built. They understand how to sell sponsorships. They understand, you know, what HR is. They understand, you know, how a workplace environment should be on the business side of things. You know, that's their expertise. That's where they come from. They come from corporate America, which half of these football teams are corporations. The other half are on the field. And you have to have people who pick players and people who pick coaches and people who know the industry inside and out. They may know it from an ownership standpoint, but they don't know it from the ground out. And they finally realized that, and they gave the general manager the power to lead the search and to hire the coach. So I appreciate recognizing one's shortcomings where it hasn't
worked out. Tiny Johnson.
Right. Yeah, and a Tiny Johnson.
Well,
yeah,
just
well, Big Johnson's coming back. Tiny Johnson is fading into the background.
Yeah,
right?
But where just hasn't worked out, he recognized it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, having this kind of double silo thing leading to the owner, at the end of the day, if the owner wants to talk to the coach and he wants to call the coach into his office, mm-hmm. guess what? The coach is going to go into the owner's
Philia
office
Johnson.
Regardless of
right.
how the structure is set. But I defined rules like this for an ownership group that is not steeped in football.
Yeah.
This is the way it should go. If you are Jerry Jones, who played football, has always been around football, has eaten, slept, and drank football.
Well, if you're Jerry Jones, you can leave it at that. Yeah, we all know Jerry Jones.
It's
yeah.
a different story.
Right.
But that's so I do recognize that change, I think, is good, and I think it's about time that the general manager, no matter who it is, I just like Joe Douglas is the guy that should be in charge, and that came out of this as well.
Yeah. Well, now that Woody is back, I know for me, I'm going to miss whispering press conference Christopher Johnson. That's one of my favorite things. When he gets up there, he talks so softly about what's going on. It's just very, the delivery is so soft. And it's probably the last time we're going to see him in a press conference unless Woody doesn't want to do any of that stuff and he sends Christopher up there. But how strange of a timeline is this? Like, Christopher Johnson, he announces Rob Saleh, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's the news. Woody's on his way back, and he is now the head man in charge, and Christopher is now Tiny Johnson.
Yeah, I saw Rich Cimini tweeting out yesterday, oh, this is odd that Rob Saleh has never met Christopher
Johnson. Like, oh, I agree
on,
that
guys.
It's
are
odd.
We starting this already?
Can
we
it just is. Get, it's a weird. We, it's, it it's doesn't mean weird. It's bad. It's odd.
Look, Christopher Johnson, you know, and his brother obviously have been in contact through all of this. And there is a timeline that has to be met in order to hire the coach and allow the coach to hire his coaching staff, which is interesting, too, because when you look at his coaching staff, it is a young, inexperienced coaching staff, with the exception of like a guy like Greg Knapp, who's been around for a while. I have to go deep. You know,
there's something about, I remember, like, you know how I have this thing with, it's not a good thing for people who have things in their past, but like I have like this name association thing. So like when people's names come up and there's something odd or different in their past, like I automatically think about it. Like we've talked about that with Greg Anthony, stuff like that. But like, you know, Greg Knapp, I feel like, didn't he like fight T.O. or something? Or like they had like an issue. I have some sort of Greg Knapp like sideline issue where him and people were they were screaming at each other or something. Well, I could be wrong about this.
He's been in the NFL for a long time. You know, he's been with the 49ers. He was an offensive coordinator with the Raiders, the Seahawks, the Texans.
There it is. Yeah, Terrell Owens.
He's been around for a while. And
2003 this happened.
Yes.
Greg.
So that's when he was the 49ers offensive coordinator.
Jeez. Oh, I mean.
Well, you got to love that, though.
Been around a long time. He's been doing this to Greg Knapp. He's probably thinking, how come I can't get a head coaching job? I've only been doing this assistant thing since 2003.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I'll have to go back and find that video of him screaming at T.O. But, yeah, the staff is obviously important, and it's going to be, for the most part, as you mentioned, outside of Greg Knapp, who's been around since the turn of the century in coaching. But all these other coaches, it's inexperience. But
they're young, but again,
young,
they're young.
Fresh.
I like the fact that you know, he's given younger guys a chance, like Rob Calabrese, the former East Iowa quarterback.
That.
Now is the quarterback coach and we'll be working directly with Sam Darnold if he's still here, or maybe it's Deshaun
Watson.
Well,
let's talk about that for a second.
Yes.
Because, you know, you had this Rob Sala talking out of both sides of his mouth thing going on with Sam Darnold yesterday.
Well, he has to.
Well, he has to if they're not committed to Sam Darnold. Everybody who heard that understands that they're not committed to Sam Darnold. He doesn't have to if they're actually committed to Sam Darnold, because he stopped short of saying that he is the quarterback next year. You know, every answer was, as long as Sam is here, you know, when Sam is here, not Sam's going to be here as our starting quarterback next year. Never said that. Now, he went on and on about, you know, all the stuff that he loves about Sam, which is something he does have to do, you know, regardless of the situation. But he never said, when you could have very easily said, that Sam Darnold's our starting quarterback, which tells us that, you know, those conversations were had between Joe Douglas and Rob Sala, because Craig and Evan asked him about that. Did Sam Darnold come up in the interview process? And he said, yeah, for sure. And he did. So they've obviously talked about
that. Every player on the roster came up. And, of course, the quarterback's going
to
come up.
So they talked about him already. And the decision sounds to me, based on everything that Rob Sala's talked about so far after being named head coach, that they're going to see if they can upgrade there.
Right. So here's the important part about the head coach in this case. The head coach is the head football coach. He will collaborate with the general manager, who is responsible for putting the players on the team.
So collaboration.
But again, he can't speak to who's going to be on the roster and who's not going to be on the roster when the general manager has the total power to run the roster. So it's not again.
You say that, though, but when we had Joe Douglas on, I asked him directly, are you going to confer with the head coach before you make a decision on Sam Darnold? So with all those things being in the pot and the timeline going on, and they've obviously conferred about this, my assessment of the situation, which I don't know to be 100% true, but I feel pretty good about, is that they have spoken and said, hey, if there's an opportunity to upgrade at the quarterback position, we're going to try to do it. If there isn't, we'll go ahead with Sam, but we are not committed to Sam, and we're not going to tell people that Sam Darnold's going to be the starting quarterback.
That is 100% correct and accurate. That's what I would say that. And that's why I think the coach was like that yesterday. He was non-committal. He shouldn't be committal, because he's only been here a week, and he's got to figure all these things out, and they got to go through the roster. Yes. So I can see how this goes. What do you think of Sam Darnold? I think he's a talented player. I think he's a physical player. I think he's a good kid. I think he's got dedicated. I think he's dedicated. I'm going to say all those nice things about him, because he may end up having to coach him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 3 weeks from now, if Joe Douglas is doing his job and he's talking to Nick Caserio in Houston and they finally say, you know, Deshaun Watson definitely wants out, then I definitely think that we go after Deshaun Watson and we get him here. And then now you can look back onto what Rob Sala said yesterday and say, okay, this is what we're talking about. Because things change so fast in the NFL. And, you know, I did a CBS Sports Minute this morning.
Radio.com Sports
Minute. By the way, Jim Rome apologized.
Yeah, we will play that audio. Okay, Jim Rome went out of his way to apologize for his mistake with the Sandy Alderson quote.
Well, there you go. So anyway, I did one. And, you know, it's about the quarterback movement that's probably going to happen in the NFL here, including – most likely at least four, maybe even five guys drafted in the first round that are quarterbacks. So the quarterback carousel is just getting started as the coaching carousel is just stopping.
Well, I have to add to that mix. It's not just Deshaun Watson, but it's the draft.
And Zach Wilson.
Right. And they have looked at everybody already, but there's still a long way to go in the evaluation process from now to when they actually select that number two overall pick if they don't end up trading it. So, you know, that's why they're leaving the door open, because they're not sure.
And they should.
Right. But
100% they should.
But when you say that, you know, Rob Saleh's got to be non-committal because that's what you do. It's specific to this situation. You know, if he had taken over, let's say, the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid had retired, he's not going to leave the door open about Patrick Mahomes being the starting quarterback.
Well, that's because they have committed to Patrick Mahomes for 10 years.
The Jets have not.
And the Jets still have to determine whether or not they're going to pick up the fifth-year option on Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't have to be made just yet. And that's why it would behoove the Jets, if they were going to do something, they would do it relatively quickly in the next month or so. The other thing, too, is that they are putting in a new offense. And I could see I know what the offense is going to look like. I don't know if it's going to be as productive as Green Bay's offense is, because they don't have Aaron Rodgers and they don't have Devontae Adams.
Sure.
All right. And they don't have the three running backs in that stable that just basically have made that team more physical this year than
they
last
don't
year.
Have anybody, really.
Well, they do have they have some young foundational players. Mekhi Becton's one of those. Quinnen Williams is one of them. Denzel Mims is one of them. I think Perrine is going to be one of them. So it's a new start, and it should feel that way. And I think that this coach and this general manager are going to be in lockstep, and that's a good thing for Jet fans. To me, the organization is now whole and it's right, and they got the right guy. Now they got to get the right players in here.
Yeah, that is the next exciting step. Free agency, the draft. What does this team look like when the season kicks off later this year?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Jerry, where'd you sleep last night, man?
What is up? Boom's couch.
Oh, nice.
Jerry's
How was
always
it?
Welcome. There's no problem with that. And I know you're probably going to lead with the Islanders over the Devils today, because you're such a big Devils fan.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Yeah.
I will see if we have time, Boomer. I've got a lot of sound to get to. Early in the NHL season.
I don't know who Wedgwood is. I'm sure he's a good dude and everything. Hasn't played hockey in 3 years. And, you know, it's tough playing against a team like the Islanders.
When your boy gets put on the COVID list and that's what you end up with.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
That's the way these things
to the
go.
Capitals, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
How many hours did you log last night on that couch?
Well, let's start. Let's take an S off the end of that word.
Oh, hour?
90 minutes.
90 minutes.
About that. Yeah, about that.
Did you use the blanket that I have in there?
No, I was not aware there was a blanket. I have a huge Rutgers jacket that I used. I was good.
Well, that's a big blanket that's hanging on that chair.
A very nice blanket hanging on the chair right there.
I did not use the blanket. That would have been a little much.
Did you fluff the pillows back up?
No, I didn't. I will take care of that after this segment. We're all good.
All right, Jerry, what's going on in sports?
I can't believe you didn't fluff the
pillows. I didn't. No fluffing. Sorry. Well, what's going on is we had a couple of new head coaches introduced yesterday by their respective teams, and one locally, and that's Rob Saleh, who will be with you guys at 8:10 this morning. He is your new Jets head coach, and he says during the whole interview process, something clicked, and he knew he was in the right spot.
When I walked out of the building, I was like, there's no doubt this is home. There was no doubt in my mind. It just felt like home. It felt like I was back home talking to my high school friends.
And so very comfortable. He was asked about Sam Darnold. He gushed about Sam. And then I think it was Samini that asked him point blank. So is Sam your starting quarterback when training camp opens?
To give you that answer right now would not be fair. There's a lot of discussions that need to be had with Joe's staff and obviously himself. And so to give you that answer right now would be a bit premature.
Now, he did go on with Carton and Roberts in the afternoon, and he did gush about Darnold's attributes as a quarterback.
He's still a talented young man. There's a reason why he was the third pick in the draft. His arm talent, his fearlessness in the pocket, his ability to process and make quick decisions.
Yeah, arm talent. That was one we heard over and over yesterday.
Which I still have a little bit of. You missed it yesterday. We were talking about how far we could all throw a football. I said I got a little bit of arm talent.
How far?
A little bit. CeeLo didn't think I could throw it over 25 yards, and I said, you're way off on that.
Okay, did you?
I haven't yet. We will.
When in the spring, maybe when we get together, we can get Al out of Bradley Beach. You know, I ranked you guys. And I had CeeLo number one. I had Al number two. I had
me
number three. Yeah. Now, Bobby is claiming that he should be higher, and plus he's lefty, so I should, you know, favor him a little bit. But I put Bobby after you, Jerry.
Works for me.
At four, I had Bobby, and then I had Big Man back here. Biggs.
All right.
Big Scazzeri.
Yeah, I've seen Eddie throw. It's not great.
No, it's not great.
Yeah.
But yesterday he's telling me, oh, I could throw and everything. I'm like, have you watched yourself throw?
There is something to be said about seeing yourself on video athletically at our advanced age. It's not a pretty sight.
No, it's not. It's not. I just think it's a little more self-awareness, though, on Eddie's part would have been nice.
Probably so. All right, well, we'll do it in the spring. Maybe I'll do it this weekend. We'll see. I don't know if I can do 25 yards either. I'm not sure. Are we doing Nerf ball or like
NFL ball? Football.
What about a college ball? A little bit smaller.
I just think that your back is like could be an issue. And
noodle arm.
What?
Noodle arm, too, noodle with all the batting practice I throw.
Yeah, and the noodle arm.
Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. My arm clicks when I throw.
Just like Drew Brees.
That's nice. Meantime, the Lions introduced their, and again, Sala with you guys at 8:10. Dan Campbell introduced by the Lions as their new head coach, and he opened up his video conference with the media, telling them that they clearly got this wrong.
I told my agent Rick Smith, I said, make sure that they think I'm Matt Campbell. So I think that's how this is really worked out great for me.
No idea if anybody thought that was funny because it was a video conference. Yes.
Yeah. What a miserable start for him, man. I'm sorry. It was just not good. I know for entertainment's sake, you can say that it was a good thing.
I enjoyed him, actually.
But it's just, if I were a fan of that team, I'd be like, oh, God.
He looks good. I thought he looked good up there.
God. I did, too.
You know, he's coming from Sean Payton. So you have to understand the way that whole thing works down there in New Orleans. You know, that's Meathead football down there. That is like Meathead 101 football. It's right out of the Bill Parcells teaching school of football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he comes right from that. He's smack dab in the middle of it. And that's why you saw what you saw yesterday.
Now, this is what went viral yesterday. I cut it up into two because otherwise it's too long. Talking about how they are going to play. They're going to represent the city and play a Detroit style.
We're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up.
He wasn't done, though.
And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you.
Before long,
we're going to be the last one standing.
We're going to take a hunk out of you.
And you're going to get arrested right after that for murdering a man.
Now, the question, where was Matt Stafford yesterday when he was watching us?
Talking to his agent going, get me out of here.
Now, I will say, and I played this earlier for Al because I thought this was funny. Yesterday they had Campbell from his sideline days, I guess his tight ends coach with the Dolphins, and he's teaching or coaching up a young tight end who on one play, the play is to the other side of the field, running back's running, and he's just kind of watching the play. Well, Campbell not having any of that, and notice how his voice kind of elevates and gets higher and higher in the grand finale at the end as he tries to talk to the kid.
Listen to me. When your teammate catches a ball, when Lamar breaks that, go block for him. You understand? Don't loaf down the field walking, watching him run. Go block for him. Okay? You drop a ball, fine. Go block for him, please.
I found that very funny.
Zero to 100.
Yes.
Way too quick.
And then he storms off.
I mean,
and he's just so angry with the kid.
That went from teaching moment to scolding in a nanosecond.
It was actually pretty funny. So the video is as good as the audio is, too. The Eagles, yeah, they've got a new head coach, Nick Sirianni, Colts offensive coordinator. Buzz, ooh, no buzz.
Yeah, no buzz,
well,
whatsoever.
You know, here's the deal. So I was texting with my buddy Frank yesterday. I said, so you lost your left tackle, you lost your quarterback, and now you lost your offense coordinator. He told me actually 2 or 3 years ago that Nick was going to be a head coach eventually in the NFL. He's just too buttoned up and too organized. And it looks to me like the Eagles want a little piece of Frank back in that building to get Carson Wentz straightened out.
A little piece of Frank.
I'm telling you. So he's going
to
bring
maybe they
offense.
Should trade Jalen Hurts to the Colts in exchange for Frank Reich.
I you know, look, all I know is that Frank doesn't have a quarterback right now, doesn't have a left tackle, and lost his offensive coordinator. I'm like, you going to get fired soon? What's going to happen?
Yeah. So Jeff McLean, who's one of the lead Eagles beat writers, has been there for a long time for the Philadelphia Inquirer. This is what he tweeted yesterday about Nick Sirianni.
Oh, boy, here we go.
He goes, from an NFL source familiar with Sirianni's credentials as a head coach, good guy, solid candidate, fairly smart, but not super smart. Concern is he's likely to top out at a B-level coach for a team that's in the mix to make the playoffs, but not a real Super Bowl chance. Low drama, though. Eek. I mean, that's like the...
That's not a great endorsement.
No. Not super smart,
but again, like,
smart. Not super
all right,
smart.
Yeah, so it's one source. Who is the source? Where is he coming from? You know, my source tells me that he's buttoned up, he's organized, he knows how to call a game. He and Frank relied on him. You know,
right. Sounds like an offensive coordinator to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, but I'm just telling you that's what I hear.
But everybody, Rob Saleh says, you know, guy's ready, players love him, ton of energy, wants to be a leader. So I mean, we take these other sources pretty seriously when it comes to Rob Saleh, and this is one here that this guy's like, flatliner, not so good.
Well,
bad
the problem
liar.
Is that this guy's name hasn't been out there all that much.
Right, came out of nowhere.
Came
you're right
out of
about
nowhere,
that.
And you know the players haven't even had a chance to respond to this hiring.
I mean, all true.
Fairly smart is like the most backhanded
compliment from some jackass source who. You
hey,
know,
that jackass source could be somebody with high level in the NFL. You don't know he's a jackass source,
but
you don't know.
But again, a jackass source that doesn't put his name on it. You know, like I'm going to
take
that for
all the time.
You know, it could be a disgruntled guy that just got fired by the
Eagles.
There's
people that tell you stuff all the time. You don't reveal the sources. I mean, not everybody's a jackass who does that, right?
Yeah, most of my sources don't do that, though. Most of my sources aren't out
there.
They'll
tell you stuff, and then
you
don't.
But they're not out to rip and kill people for an opportunity that they get.
He's not ripping or
kill. But this is the NFL.
The beat writer asked his source that he knows for a long time, has worked in the NFL, what do you think of this guy? He gave him an honest answer. Now he's a jackass who's ripping him? I mean, it's just an honest answer.
Maybe he turns out to be the NFL Coach of the Year next year.
Maybe he does.
Go back and look at some of the comments. Go look back at some of the comments about Matt LaFleur when he was hired by Green Bay.
I understand.
Just look at those and look at those people.
And look at the comments when Jim
sources.
Tomsula got the job for San Francisco. I can go tit for tat on all of those. I'm just saying, in this moment here, just because the guy had that assessment of him doesn't mean he's a jackass who's out to rip him. He just has an honest assessment. Like, I've asked you about certain guys off the air, like what you've thought, and on the air too, that you don't have a high opinion of, right? Does that mean that you're a jackass? Is that the rip a guy, or is that just your opinion on it?
You know, the amazing thing is that yesterday, and I'm not going to fight you over this. You know, you can feel your way, and I'll feel my way. Is that I went deeper into the interview process and what goes into all of this, and when they start looking into everything, which unfortunately the Mets didn't do with Jared Porter, but that highlights why some coaches don't get hired, but we'll never know that. We'll never know why coaches are not hired. And, you know, this guy comes with a pristine reputation and a clean background. You know, that's also a part of the hiring process for a lot of these guys.
Understandable.
And I would think that, you know, Rob Saleh has that too. You know, I'm sure that when Joe Douglas sat down with him and met him in person and did all the background checks and everything, they said, this is our guy, man. This guy's the perfect guy for our team, and he's not going to embarrass us. And as a matter of fact, he's going to inspire the fan base, which obviously, by all the reaction, is what's happening.
Sunday afternoon, Packers and Bucks NFC Championship game. We did find out that former Packer GM Ted Thompson passed away, just 68 years old. Terrible.
Yeah, you know who his first draft pick was?
Brett Favre. No, he was drafted by the Falcons. Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
There you go. Sunday night, Chiefs and Bills. Tyreek Hill not looking past this game.
No one is, like, really thinking about actually going to the Super Bowl. I mean, we're all focused on the Buffalo Bills because, obviously, that's the task at hand.
About 3 seconds later, Tyreek Hill looking past this game.
When the Super Bowl is here, you know the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl, baby.
You want to talk about a jackass? Oh, my God.
That was kind of funny,
oh my
I thought.
God, really?
Oh, man. Sean McDermott has exactly what he needs now.
There you go. Yes. There's your little three-second clip. Patrick Mahomes did take most of the first – he's still in the concussion protocol, but Andy Reid said he took most of the first-team reps yesterday. The Washington football team will reportedly promote Jennifer King to a full-time offensive assistant. The Knicks were at Golden State last night.
Yeah, baby.
And, boy, they look good.
Another turnover by Curry.
Wow, that's five.
Got numbers if they hurry.
Randall sets up Barrett off the hesitation. He lays it in.
And that is Kenny Albert and Clyde on MSG. Knicks put up 40 in the first quarter, got out running, and they beat the Warriors 119-104. How about this? All five of the Knicks starters in double figures, led by R.J. Barrett, yes, who had 28, and Julius Randle, 16 points, okay, 17 rebounds, and 9 assists.
Yep.
Guy, pretty, he's going to be a great trade piece.
Yeah.
Pretty. Well, they're 8-8, you know?
Yeah, don't, no, not yet. We'll see what happens. But R.J. Barrett, that's one of the best games he's ever played as a Knick, if not the best game. And he did it the way that he played to his strengths. He didn't shoot a million threes. He only shot three. He hit two of them. And most of his points is doing the stuff that, you know, mid-range jumpers, getting to the basket. I mean, those are the things that he does well. So I was really encouraged with him more than anything last night.
Hey, Draymond Green got thrown out of this game, too.
Mistakenly.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been.
I know.
And they apologized to Steve Kerr after the game, said, yeah, our bad.
What I love about it, though, is so he's yelling at James Wiseman, who's their, you know, their pick this past year, the rookie.
First overall pick.
Yeah, he's screaming at James Wiseman. And, their first-round pick. So he's screaming at James Wiseman, and that's what the ref thought he was yelling at him. So whatever Draymond was saying to James Wiseman was probably really, really bad. Like what the bleep are you doing? Are you bleeping kidding me? Get your head out of your ass, something like that. He's yelling at James Wiseman, and then the ref goes, hey, you're out of here. And he's like, I'm not talking to you, man. I'm chastising a rookie is what I'm doing. I'm yelling at him. He's screwing up, not you. But
you know, one of the things, I was talking to Steve Peichel last week about no fans in these buildings. One of the big differences, and I got to hold true for the NBA too, the officials hear absolutely everything. And when there's fans, maybe you think it's coming from somewhere else. But with no fans, it's got to be someone on the court.
Right.
So it's almost like rabbit ears in a way.
And
they
Draymond's
hear
got a reputation,
true,
for yelling at refs, so they just assumed it was yelling, it was directed towards
you
them.
Yeah, I also don't like the fact that Draymond, he should have been thrown out yelling at his rookie like that. I mean, come on, man. You got to take the guy under your wing. You don't scream at him in the middle
that's
of the game.
That's a different approach, isn't it? You know, make sure that you toughen him up. I'm surprised you had that take.
I'm surprised, too.
Every veteran should take a rookie under their wing and teach them how to play.
Maybe
and teach
them
how to be a professional. Don't scream and yell at them in the heat of battle.
Interesting.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Man, you know,
Especially with your softball record.
I play with a bunch of – yeah, but it's a different – you guys are a bunch of grown men in a softball. I'm talking about a game of football with a rookie or a game of basketball, professional basketball, that is, trying to figure it out.
You know,
you take a guy under the wing, you don't scream at him and make him feel like crap.
My memory is kicking in for an example here.
Okay.
And I remember that first day of Big Zoo, when Big Zoo was here and he had a rough start. And you said the talk back, hey – let's not F this up tomorrow, huh?
Well, that was true.
Right under the wing.
Yeah, under the wing.
It's okay, big fella.
You know, that Big Zoo is such a mess that I could tell that he could handle it. Plus, he's an ex-football player, an ex-defensive lineman. They can handle that kind of stuff.
I'm sure James Wiseman can handle it.
Yeah, I mean, he's not some guy who needs to be coddled. Who knows? We don't know the relationship.
Eddie
there.
Wanted you to coddle Big Zoo. Eddie never told me to coddle Big Zoo.
But I'm just saying.
I know Eddie is a coddler. He likes to coddle people, and you know he's never going to yell. Do you ever get mad at anybody?
Oh yeah.
It's rare, but it has happened.
Yeah, when it's like the company.
The company. You get mad at the company, like
no.
executives and stuff like that.
Remember when someone... Eddie was furious with us when Craig revealed his birthday years ago? He went and locked himself in the office.
Did you really do that? I didn't remember.
Yeah, that actually, I was angry about that.
And he gets angry when people call in sick.
Oh, yeah, that's
used
too.
To.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah. He doesn't even get angry when people aren't sick and they're not here.
Yeah, I remember I had the neurovirus. I had that a couple times. One that I thought that you gave to me when you got in Kansas City. But when I was a part-timer, I got this. And I always wanted to be there every single shift. I hated the fact I never, ever
FOMO,
missed one.
FOMO, baby, FOMO.
And I could not walk. I could not get out of the bed and take a step without something flying out of an orifice. You know, I'm talking like, you know, mouth, butt, ears. Like, it was just horrible, right? So I said, I can't go in. Plus, I'm contagious. Like, I can't go in. And Eddie must have, like, called me four times that day to call me a wuss. Like, at least, like, you were definitely.
Now you have a totally different perspective on
but
things,
you were,
don't you?
Oh, for sure. He was busting balls.
Meantime.
So. Yeah. You knew I couldn't come in, but you were doing that to make me feel bad because you knew I felt bad about it. So you knew I shouldn't have come in, but yeah, you definitely.
Meantime, G, there was a time, I don't think you were here yet. I think it was still Craig. I don't remember, but there was a time where Eddie almost died because he was so sick, but thought, I've got to go to work. And then ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Was that the time that with the stomach and you had like the heat radiating? I think.
Yeah, that was cellulitis.
Stupid is what that was.
Yeah, cellulitis.
And when the doctor, when I went to his office, he said, "You're going to work tomorrow, aren't you?"
Yeah,
and I didn't say anything.
That was I was here. I think that was early in the
was that true? Okay.
Yeah, 2018.
And he ordered me to the hospital.
Yeah,
and then you ordered yourself a car bomb.
When I get out.
Yes.
Lakers beat the Bucks 113-106. Jazz over the Pelicans 129-118. More on that game coming up later on. And yes, the Islanders beat the Devils 4-1. Mackenzie Blackwood did not play, put on the COVID list. And so Jordan Eberle scores twice. The Isles wind up winning. Rangers in Pittsburgh tonight. Penn State beat Rutgers 75-67. Indiana over number 4 Iowa 81-69. And Notre Dame's football program on NCAA probation until next January after admitting to recruiting violations in 2019.
Oh, I didn't think Notre Dame would ever do recruiting violations.
I never knew that stuff went on.
Oh, my goodness. So what happens to them now?
Probation, whatever that means.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
When are they on probation until?
Google it.
Until next January.
Yeah.
So does that mean they're not bowl eligible?
I would think not.
Oh, that would stink.
Unless they mean until next January. So January 1, they're free to play. I don't know. I'm not sure. I got to check.
My buddy Jack Cohn just went there from Sayville. He doesn't get to go to a bowl now. It's going to really screw up his career.
Yeah, I wonder what happens. I don't know what's going on. So.
All right.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
There's some of these names that are on this Rob Saleh coaching staff, and one jumped out to me. And that's Miles Austin, who is going to be the wide receiver coach. Now, Miles Austin was a NFL wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, most famously. And then he also dated Kim Kardashian
there you go.
A while. So,
see, that was something that I'm sure will pique the interest of his players.
Without a doubt. Every one of the players is going to want to know what that was like. All the details.
So that was prior to Chris Humphrey, right?
I believe it was. So I think the timeline, she was with Reggie Bush for a very long time, and then they broke up, and then Miles Austin was the Reggie Bush rebound, and then after he was done, I think she ended up marrying Chris Humphries, I think. It's hard to keep up with, but...
Well, you got to keep up with the Kardashians. That's what you got to do.
That's right. Oh, man.
Very important to keep up with them.
Walked right into that one, but yes, of course. Did. Like, think about your playing days. If one of you found out that one of your young coaches had dated whatever one of the top celebrities were out there, like think about the bombarding of questions.
So my coaches and people that know, I don't know how many people out there that are listening right now have any idea who these people are. They may know Jimmy McNally because he was an offensive line coach for the Giants. That psychotic human being. Yeah. I love Jimmy, but he was crazy. Run 17, 17, 16, 17, 16. I'm like, hey, can you come? Stop yelling at me.
Yeah.
Yell at the head coach. He's calling the plays, for God's sake. Of course, we had Bruce Coslett, you know. I personally love Bruce. I know Jeff Enns, you know, I have a different feeling about him because he was gruff with the media and all that other stuff. I couldn't see him with a Kardashian. Then we had Tiger Johnson, who was about as old as, I think he's invented football.
Right,
He was a great tight end coach. He was awesome. And then we had Jimmy Anderson, our running back coach, who's just screaming at the running backs all the time. And I just couldn't imagine him with a Kardashian.
Right.
So the world has flipped upside down and changed.
Right. So a guy like Miles Austin would not be coaching in your era. Mm-hmm. He's coaching now, and he's a celebrity.
And you know why guys like Miles Austin are coaching now, which is great, is because the NFL has done all these coaching internships for these ex-players to keep them in the league, to give them an opportunity. You know, that's how Eric Bieniemy did it. You know, that's how, you know, a lot of these coaches are coming to the forefront now because they were either hired as quality control coaches like Rob Saleh was with the Seattle Seahawks, or you know, or they get in these coaching internships. So it's great, and good for him.
Now I'm just thinking about Bob Wiley out there in training camp going, ever tell you about the time that I had that one-night stand with B. Arthur? Boy, what a tiger cat.
That's exactly what it would be like.
Yeah.
I'm having this.
Hot! I took her out to dinner. Oh, man. And then bing, bang, boom, there we were in the hotel. Hot! Yeah, no, it's a different world. You are right. Now, speaking of, all right, you mentioned, go ahead, you're going to finish your thought.
No, no, I was just going to say, you said B. Arthur. I was trying to think, who was Aunt B on Mayberry RFD?
Oh, God, Aunt B.
Jerry, that's something, not Jerry, Eddie would know that.
Aunt B. Mayberry. Francis Bouvier?
Yeah, Bouvier.
Bouvier, Francis Bouvier.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I had her too. Ha!
Francis Bouvier.
Yeah, me, B. Arthur, Francis Bouvier, all one night. Best night of my life. Ha!
Okay.
So you mentioned Eric Bieniemy's name, and now we are hearing a lot of, after Nick Sirianni was hired by the Eagles, that here we go again, Eric Bieniemy is not going to be hired. So, you know, you also talked about background checks and stuff like that. Is there something that we don't know that's going on with Eric Bieniemy? Because
yeah,
on
know.
The surface, it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and Andy Reid is obviously advocating for his assistant coach to get a head job.
Lots of people are, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and I know the Fritz Pollard Alliance, who is looking at all these different issues from the general managers to the coaches, and they want, you know, people to get people of color to get legitimate interviews. And I do believe that a lot of players and a lot of people have gotten legitimate interviews in all these cases. But you're running a $5 billion organization. And when you go through the interview process, the Mets made a mistake.
Yeah.
The Mets made a huge mistake hiring through the old boys network and didn't do their due diligence. I don't necessarily know that an NFL football team really wants to hire somebody that has something that, you know, that maybe they have found out. And I don't know this about Eric Bieniemy. I don't know how his interview process is going. All I can tell you, he was my teammate. And he was a great teammate. That's all I can tell you. That's the Eric Bieniemy that I know, that when we would break the huddle on third down, he was our third down back most of the time. He would call the pass protections before I would.
Yeah.
And I would have to tell him to stop. You know?
Sure.
And he was trying to, you know, just kind of alert me that he knew what he was doing. So he was always buttoned up as a player. He was a great teammate. You know, what has gone on and why he hasn't gotten a job, I don't know. But all I do know is watching what happened with the Mets, I think these teams are all very, very, very worried about who they hire, and they have to go through a very rigorous process. Now, I I'm not a part of that process, so I don't know if there's anything there that is keeping Eric Bieniemy from getting a job.
So you've now officially come over to the other side with the Mets, though, and think that they didn't do a good enough job in the process of Jarrett Porter. Because, I mean, we had said originally, and I still sort of believe this, that it was very, very hard for them to have found this out. Because, I mean, even if you ask for some sort of forensic investigation into a man's cell phone records, I mean, are you going to find these things from 2016? And, like, what if there's stuff in there that just is too private, that's not private and creepy and weird?
Well, if it's private and if it's not private and creepy and weird, then it's a different story. But the only reason we gave our opinions that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that morning we came on here, said he was going to be gone before the end of the day.
Yep.
We knew it. We knew that he was going to be gone because he never told Sandy Alderson and Steve Cohen that this was a potential issue for him. You know, I think he just thought that it was gone, it was over with, but it obviously wasn't. But then after so we knew he was going to be fired. Then came the questions, why didn't they know? Okay. What didn't they do? And I just did a little bit of further discussions with people in the know that understand hiring practices for people at this significant level, at a $2 million face of the franchise general manager level, and what goes into all of that, and why, when you do open, you have an open search, you're able to either go through a search firm or through a forensic firm that actually will go through the background of somebody. So you at least you know who you're hiring.
All right. So you think that there was something they could have done that would have led to this?
I believe there is. I believe he was hired through the Old Boys Network. That's what I believe.
All right.
And it's a mistaken part on the front office of the Mets, and they've learned a valuable lesson. But the good news is, out of all of this, is that Steve Cohen acted appropriately the next morning immediately.
So I don't know how meticulous that background check is for someone at that level, because that's not something I'm familiar with. You spoke to somebody who told you how meticulous it is.
How meticulous it needs to be.
Okay, yeah. So I just don't. To me, it still seems like it would be a tough thing to find out with the way what we know about this, because there's also another organization that hired him, had him there for a long time, and there was no talk about this. The only way
was somebody supposedly at that organization.
Well, no,
Cubs.
I'm talking about the Cubs. I mean, the Diamondbacks.
No, but there was somebody at the Cubs organization who knew about this.
I'm not even, but forget, he worked for the Diamondbacks for all those years too, and nobody said anything. He got hired there. It wasn't a GM role, but it was definitely a front office role.
Right.
So.
No, nobody said anything because it was a low level, you know, not face of the franchise role.
Right. So
now all of a sudden you're at a different level. You're a general manager. You're going to be on TV. You're going to be talking about things, and you're going to be representing your team. So that is kind of like the situation that unfolded here. And that's why the story became the story. Not because Jeff Passan brought it to light, is because Mina Kimes brought it to light. You know, and then Jeff Passan, being the baseball writer, he was the one that was the face of the article, and he was the one that was trotted out speaking on behalf of ESPN and what Mina Kimes had learned. So I just say, like, I've learned about after the fact how meticulous these things have to be, you know, and from a HR standpoint and how important they are. And again, like, if you go to somebody, if I'm interviewing you to be the GM of the Mets, and I say, look, I'm going to do a forensic background check on everything in your life, and you say, you have to say okay to that.
Sure.
But if you say no,
that's a red flag, yeah.
And you're going to say, well, you're just taking yourself out of the running for this very, very high-profile job.
Yeah.
That's all I'm telling you.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.